This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yehiye Suhib in Washington. Here's what's coming up on Africa News Tonight.
As a country, we need to appreciate that maintaining the death penalty serves very little purpose. The solution, therefore, lies in rehabilitating offenders while delivering justice and maintaining life imprisonment.
That was Godfrey Malambeka, Executive Director of the Prisons Care and Counseling Association, on Zambia's decision to end the death penalty. Details coming up. Also, Ambassador Mike Hammer has replaced Jeffrey Feltman as the U.S. Special Envoy for the Horn of Africa. These stories and more on Africa News Tonight. We start with our top story. Tensions are surging between the Democratic Republic of Congo and Rwanda, with the two neighbors swapping allegations that they are supporting separate rebel groups in the volatile eastern DRC. Eugene Uwimana has more from Rwanda's capital, Kigali.
Continental groups, including the African Union, have been trying to foster reconciliation before the situation explodes into full-on conflict that could spread. African Union Chairman Macky Sall said Sunday he's gravely concerned about the situation and called for calm and dialogue. After a phone call from Angola President João Lourenço to DRC President Félix Tshisekedi, Kinshasa agreed to release two Rwandan soldiers who Kigali says were abducted by the Congolese army. Rwandan Foreign Minister Vincent Biruta, attending an African Union summit in Equatorial Guinea, urged the DRC to de-escalate its rhetoric so that they can all continue collaboration to restore security and long-term stability to their region. More than 100 rebel groups are active in the eastern DRC, where recent fighting has displaced entire communities. Rwanda alleges the DRC is working with the FDLR rebel group there. This follows a declaration made in a news conference yesterday by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs that Rwanda is ready to retaliate against what they called DRC aggression. While addressing the United Nations Security Council, Rwandan Ambassador Claver Gatete asked member states and the UN peacekeeper force MONUSCO to break up what he called an alliance between the Congolese army and the FDLR.
Rwanda is extremely concerned by the military cooperation between FRDC and FDLR. This council should be reminded that the presence of FDLR has caused untold suffering to the people of Eastern DRC and perpetrated insecurity in our region for close to 3 decades. We urge the United Nations through MONUSCO to not stand by and watch this alliance between FRDC and FDLR continue.
The FDLR, or the Democratic Forces for the Liberation of Rwanda, is led by the genocide perpetrators who fled Rwanda in 1994. Meanwhile, the DRC government accuses Rwanda of backing the M23 rebel group. That militia is blamed for dozens of deaths in recent weeks. Gatete denied those allegations.
In conclusion, I would like to state that Rwanda categorically rejects the allegations by DRC that Rwanda supports M23. This is unfounded and unacceptable. Rwanda has absolutely no interest in destabilizing DRC. The government of Rwanda observes that these allegations are a pretext by some spoilers within the DRC to externalize the conflict for domestic political gains, which is dangerous and should be denounced.
The Rwandan military says fighting between M23 and the DRC army led to DRC rockets falling in some neighborhoods of the Musanze district and destroyed properties. In a news conference, Biruta said Rwanda is ready if aggression continues. He says if these insecurity incidents continue, they cannot sit and allow that their citizens continue get shot or abducted. He says they have the right to defend their territory, and if attacks continue, they can retaliate. But he says Rwanda doesn't need a war and stands ready should anyone want it. For political analyst Patrick Muneza, the solution is clear for both countries. Stop cooperating with the rebel groups.
The solution, my point of view, is to release the Rwandan soldiers, and then they declare that DRC is not working with the FDLR. But surely this is going to handicap the region at aggression we're all being optimistic about, which is going to affect the economy and the politics. And this is really a setback, a major setback.
The DRC, Rwanda, and the three other Eastern African nations agreed last month to form a regional force that will fight armed groups in the region. Eugene Uwimana for VOA News, Kigali, Rwanda.
In the Eastern Democratic Republic of the Congo, a calm has returned to areas affected by intense fighting between the armed forces and M23 rebels. Both sides have returned to their original positions and some displaced people are already beginning to return home. More details from reporter Zanem Neti Zaidi.
In the locality of Kibumba in Nyiragongo territory, the situation is now peaceful. On Tuesday afternoon, traffic on the Goma Rutshuru road, which has already been reopened, is moving slowly, with a few people passing by. Wema Ndagije, a member of Service Society in Kibumba, says that families can now return to their homes without worry. He tells me that they recently fled the clashes and now the situation is calm. He calls on all the displaced men, women and children to come and return home. He hopes that this calm will continue because people no longer want war. They want lasting peace. Neema Sinzige, a mother, returned home 2 days ago, resumed her farming activities and can now feed her family. She says she's living better than in the shelter she had gone to. She tells me that she preferred to go home because the situation has returned to normal. She did not want to stay too long in the site for internally displaced people, which she says was unlivable, where she was without any assistance. Although some IDPs have already begun to return, others are still hesitant. Sendugu Jean, for example, revealed that he is afraid to put his family in danger. He appealed to authorities to take care of the displaced who have not yet taken the initiative to return home. He tells me that he is still in the camp with his family and he has not yet decided to go home because of fear. He tells me that he suffers with his family in the camp and is asking the help of the government so that he lives in good conditions before going back home. The Goma Rutshuru road was reopened 3 days ago to allow displaced people to return home and to facilitate the transport of food and other goods to the region. Although the situation has calmed down, the areas most recently affected by the fighting are under heavy surveillance by the Congolese army. I'm Zanem Netizaidi in Kibumba for VOA News.
U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said in a statement today that Ambassador Mike Hammer, a career diplomat with decades of experience, has replaced Jeffrey Feltman as the U.S. Special Envoy to the Horn of Africa. Hammer will have to contend with multiple crises in the region, including conflict in Ethiopia that has sparked accusations of atrocities on both sides and economic and political turmoil in Sudan following an October coup. Blinken said the appointment underscores the abiding U.S. commitment to diplomatic efforts in the region, most urgently in support of an inclusive political process towards peace, common security and prosperity for all the people in Ethiopia. But Reuters reported that the frequent change of personnel has raised questions about the Biden administration's commitment in the region, particularly as it grapples with pressing foreign policy crises elsewhere, primarily the Russian invasion of Ukraine. The first flight carrying asylum seekers from Britain to Rwanda is expected to take place in 2 weeks, according to a report by Reuters. British Home Secretary Priti Patel said in a statement, the first flight is expected to take place on June 14th. He did not specify how many asylum seekers would be aboard. The UK's Home Office said yesterday that an initial group of migrants had started to receive formal letters telling them they are being sent to Rwanda to, quote, rebuild their lives in safety. The plan, announced by Prime Minister Boris Johnson's government in April, has drawn criticism from both inside and outside his Conservative Party, as well as many charities. However, the British government says the program is designed to break people's smuggling networks. Last year, 28,000 people made the crossing from mainland Europe to the UK, mostly on small boats. The government has dismissed the criticism that the policy lacks compassion, saying it's worse to encourage a system where many asylum seekers are exploited by people smugglers. Citing the impact of COVID and rising fuel prices, ailing South African airline Calm Air has suspended all of its flights, stranding hundreds of passengers. The airline, which operates local Kulula and British Airways flights, announced last night that it has run out of operating funds. The airline, which already was in a business rescue program, says it will be back in the air once it secures financing. Tuso Kumalo reports from Johannesburg.
Calm Air Chief Executive Officer Glenn Osmond announced last night that the carrier has decided to suspend operations due to several challenges.
It has been severely impacted by COVID. This was then made worse by the suspension of our flights in March, and now we have the sharp rise in fuel price. We've been working hard with the business rescue practitioners to secure sufficient funding to try and resolve these liquidity pressures.
COVID travel restrictions have battered tourism and business flights around the world. Osmond apologized to passengers, advising them not to go to airports unless prior arrangements have been made. Hundreds still turned up at various airports. He assured them that they will get refunds in due course. That was little consolation to this passenger who spoke to journalists at the O.R. Tambo International Airport in Johannesburg.
I came to Pretoria for a business trip. Unfortunately, I just got told that all my Kulula flights was cancelled. I'm trying to find a way back. I don't know if I'll be able to get back today because I've looked on SA Fare and there's no flights available.
In 2020, Calm Air was put under business rescue due to financial challenges partly caused by travel restrictions during COVID-19 lockdowns. It was later allowed to return to the skies, but still under business rescue. 3 months ago, the South African Civil Aviation Authority suspended Calm Air's operating license after a few safety incidents involving its flights. With its wings clipped again, the airline says it will only fly when the business rescue practitioners secure the much-needed funds for its operational costs. Tuso Kumalo for VOA News, Johannesburg.
You're listening to African News Tonight. I'm Yehiyes Wuhib in Washington. Please note we have moved our programs from voanews.com to voaafrica.com. There, you'll find all your favorite VOA radio and TV programs and a whole lot more. Find us on voaafrica.com. the announcement by Zambian President Hakainde Hichilema on abolishing the death penalty has been received with excitement and high expectations by human rights activists. The government will now work with Parliament to transition to focusing on preserving and rehabilitating life while still delivering justice. Kathy Short reports from Lusaka.
There is a growing consensus worldwide for the abolition of the death penalty. Though Zambian law supports the punishment, no executions have taken place since the late 1990s. Godfrey Malembeka is the executive director of the Prisons Care and Counseling Association, an NGO that focuses on the welfare of prisoners. Malembeka insists that the death penalty is inhuman and not in line with fundamental human rights.
As a country, we need to appreciate that maintaining the death penalty serves very little purpose. Studies have shown that the death penalty is not an effective deterrent as a country that have it still see cases that attract the death penalty. And countries where they have abolished death penalty, the crime wave is going down. The solution, therefore, lies in rehabilitating offenders whilst delivering justice and maintaining life imprisonment.
Boniface Chembe is the executive director of the Southern African Center for the Constructive Resolution of Disputes, a human rights NGO. Chembe has called on the Zambian government to act urgently and repeal the law that supports the death penalty.
We hope that the pronouncements that have been made will be followed up to their logical conclusion, go hand in hand with what is contained in our laws by way of repealing and removing from the statute books the issue of the death penalty, which is a gross human rights violation that must not be condoned and accepted in a democratic dispensation such as ours that believes in the right to life for all.
However, Joseph Mambwe, a Lusaka resident, insists that the death penalty should be maintained as it helps grieved families bring a psychological closure and also reduces crime.
It is a relief to the grieved family if they know that the person who killed or murdered their brother, their father, mother has also been killed or has also been sentenced to death.
Besides amending the law, human rights activists are also asking Zambia to relaunch the constitutional reforms that would expand the Bill of Rights that would include the end of the death penalty. The procedure would require a two-thirds majority in Parliament. The Acting Minister of Home Affairs and Internal Security, Ambrose Lifuna, says the government has started discussions toward ending the death penalty. I'm Kathy Short for VOA News in Lusaka, Zambia.
Nigerian manufacturers say they are struggling with rising grain prices, especially for wheat, sparked by Russia's war on Ukraine. But even before the war started in February, Nigeria had been dealing with fuel and power shortages and high inflation. Timothy Obiezu reports from Abuja, Nigeria.
Machiku Arizu started her baby formula business 6 years ago after quitting her former job as a medical lab scientist. She uses grains such as corn, rice, and brown wheat to make her recipes. She then packages them and prepares them for delivery. But because of Russia's war in Ukraine, she's not sure when she will get her next supply of wheat, and she says scarcity of wheat also is affecting the prices of other ingredients.
I use wheat alongside oats and then yam flour to produce that particular one. I will lie to you, to even get it is even difficult. It's not just about the increase in price. To get the wheat is actually difficult now because I buy in bulk. So I've made a lot of calls to some of my suppliers.
Orizu says with a key ingredient hard to come by these days, business has not been the same. She says she's beginning to look for other alternatives, even though she's concerned about her customers' preferences.
When you produce that you're not going to make your profits, it becomes a problem. It wouldn't be a business anymore. So I'm already trying to research on how to switch wheat for something else. What we have on mind for now is acha, that's fonio. Yeah, so I'm taking between now and Friday to make that decision.
Since Russia invaded Ukraine in February, grain prices have been rising steadily. At the onset of the war, the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations said the price of a bushel of wheat immediately rose by 5.7%. But even before then, the price of wheat in Nigeria had increased by about 30% due to shortages at home. The Wheat Farmers Association of Nigeria says local production of wheat here meets less than 10% of the country's needs. Nigeria imported an average of $2 billion worth of wheat in 2020 and 2021, mostly from the United States and Russia, according to the country's Statistics Bureau. However, the Nigerian Manufacturers Association, MAN, says grain shortages are not the only problem. Before the Russian invasion, businesses were already struggling with electricity and fuel shortages, inflation, poor infrastructure, and growing insecurity. Segun Ajayi Kadiri is the Director General of MAN.
It has made the supply chain internally to be very difficult. The most impacted part of the country also happens to be the belt that we get most of our food stuff from. Apart from the fact that there's insecurity, the roads are also bad. We have had challenges. Now it is compounded by the fact that people cannot even farm.
Nigerian authorities blame the electricity shortage on the collapse of the national grid multiple times since January. Authorities also said the recall in January of 170 million liters of tainted fuel from circulation led to fuel shortages. Many businesses like Usman Mohammed's bakery are cut off from power and rely on diesel fuel to power generators. But he says that too has tripled in price since the beginning of the year.
They will use a lot of diesel because the electricity is very scarce. So you need to buy diesel a lot. So it has affected our production and the price of the bread.
For now, many business owners like Orizu and Mohammed are just getting by and hoping for better days. Timothy Obiezu for VOA News, Abuja, Nigeria.
Please note we have moved our programs from voanews.com to voaafrica.com. And with that, we wrap up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Yehiyes Wuhib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. On behalf of our producer, Mokbil Yabaro, and our engineer, Nelson Lopes, thanks again for tuning in and choosing The Voice of America.
Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's Newsmaker Interview Program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice